All right. I'm going to call the meeting to order. And if everyone had a chance to look at the minutes.
I have, I would be happy to make a motion on the minutes, but I do have one item that I would like to correct. It's actually these minutes, not the Public Works. In the discussion of awareness, there is a statement that I was concerned about their professional training.
Can I see that, please?
I think that might, if we could just strike that phrase, I didn't, I mean, it's too complicated to get into.
Okay.
And leaving it like it is just raises a question of what I meant.
Sure.
And I don't want to
unpack
it. And it's not necessary for the minutes. So the statement is that Legislator Nolan, skipping forward, recapped awareness contract concerns, requesting quarterly reports, professionals on staff. You could just take that out.
Take this out?
Address the committee in springtime when the budget office is planning for the next budget cycle. Funding requests should go through RFP county executive budget process. So I think we did discuss all those things, but that little synopsis, if we omit it, I think it doesn't raise issues about what was behind it.
Okay.
And if the, so I would propose that, I would make the motion that we accept the minutes as amended.
Sure.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Well, we'll get started, and we have Jeanette with us. And
I'm Jeanette. We have stuff for you for presents. I only brought six, because I thought there was only five. But do you want to take one and pass it on?
Sure.
But we have an extra pen. Yeah, they have
extra. Oh, there you go. So made up for it.
If anyone wants to.
Oh.
Thank you, Kathy.
If you'll hold this for Laura.
Yep.
So I'm Jeanette Cole, the Director of Wellness Services at the Mental Health Association. And this is Allie Curtis. Sorry, she's got married. Allie Curtis, she is the chair of the Ulster County Eating Disorder Coalition that I oversee. She's a wellness resource coordinator. And we wanted to go over a little bit about what we do with the funds that you guys give us, because we are very appreciative. It's been started in 2007, this coalition, and it was a bunch of parents, including former legislator Carl Lombicchio. They were struggling to get treatment and counseling and whatnot services in our area for family members and relatives with eating disorders. And it's not something that's common around here. It's still a common struggle. Therefore, they have decided to use the coalition to meet the goals, which are to collaborate with experts in the field and provide specialized training to local practitioners. Create and maintain support groups for people with eating disorders, serve as advocates for Ulster County residents dealing with eating disorders, and educate the general public and practitioners about eating disorders. And we've expanded on that into the clinical realm. Eating disorders are extremely common, and they're very problematic. They don't discriminate. They cause severe physical and mental health issues. They can even cause death. Therefore, with this coalition, we do a lot of different services. The coalition is open to any interested party, and we meet monthly. We have three support groups that we hold: the Pathway to Recovery, Mindful Eating. Pathway to Recovery, I'm sorry, I'll backtrack, is for people who restrict calories or have restrictive eating habits to the point that it's interfering with their lifestyle. Mindful Eating is for people that overextend calories to the point of binging or whatnot that's interfering with their lifestyle. And the Eating Disorder Family Support Group for family members of a person with an eating disorder. The facilitators get paid around $50 an hour, so approximately a little over 11 grand a year is totally put aside just for that. We do our conferences and workshops. We used to only do one annual workshop a year. I came on last April, and last year we did an annual, which you have the flyer in your folder. I did the annual workshop, and the feedback that we had gotten was that the practitioners in the area, who were the majority of our population, aren't getting enough clinical support. Therefore, they're not feeling comfortable treating eating disorders. So when we would get people coming to the office wanting a therapist or services in this area without having to travel to the city, to Presbyterian, or Albany to live well, we had nothing that we could give them. We call numerous counselors, and nobody would take them on unless it was a secondary diagnosis because it was too risky and they don't have enough education. So my response to that was, why aren't we providing clinical training? We are established to provide especially social workers with continuing education credits, so let's provide the information they need. Now we do, last year we wanted to do annually, a workshop that was only half day in May, and it only provided clinical treatment information, and it was the first one, so we did very general basic treatment on general basic disorders. We plan on going into that each year and doing a different topic, kind of like we do with the annual one, but focusing on different modalities and different types of treatment so that we can get people in our area more comfortable with treating this diagnosis. Since we did that, and this one that we're doing tomorrow, we're actually seeing a rise in treatment providers that are feeling comfortable taking this on. Therefore, we are seeing results slightly just in being able to provide resources. When we call around, we found it used to be one therapist in Poughkeepsie. We're actually seeing like three or four now, which is an improvement. So we want to continue with this. Allie has put together pretty much all the work on the conference tomorrow, so I want her to talk a little bit about that. But we've incorporated the afternoon to provide CEs. So that way everything we do will provide a clinical piece, even though our annual December one will always be open to the community. There will be kind of a combination. I'll let you go.
So I was really excited to be able to take on the Eating Disorder Coalition. My coworker, I have to give her some credit, who just left, her name is Zoe Mahan, and she did a lot of the planning. I took over as chair in October, and this conference was really special because it was based on feedback we had gotten from specific individuals. I was at a event at SUNY New Paltz, and I don't even think it was the eating disorder event they had. It was another general mental health, and the individual identified as they, and they came up and discussed how they went to go seek treatment for an eating disorder, but the practitioners only treated them as a female as assigned at birth, and they were not competent in how to address their specific needs as gender binary and or gender non-binary. And that story was really important to us, and I had known a man with an eating disorder. And so we decided for this conference to focus on underrepresented, underreported populations, specifically focused on sex and gender. So that's why it's focused on both men and the LGBTQ community. And we have partnered with the Hudson Valley LGBTQ Center. Frankly, I do not identify as being in the community, and we wanted to make sure that we were being as competent and as sensitive as possible. So we knew that we had to consult. And through that partnership, we are able to offer a presentation on language, a presentation on person-centered recovery-oriented language. And then in the afternoon, we have both a clinical track and then a community track. And the clinical track involves social workers, licensed mental health counselors, several nutritionists, and then the community track, which is providing a lot of general information and then a little bit more in depth on how, if you or your someone you know is struggling, how to seek help, how to identify warning signs. And that one has a bunch of students, which is really exciting. A lot of college students, and then several people from the community who are just interested or they might want to pursue therapy, being a therapist. So I'm thrilled about tomorrow and the support that we've gotten. In the report, I have kind of outlined, thank you, I outlined the conferences, the three that have occurred since Jeanette took the position at MHA. And then I also discussed our outreach. Part of my position is outreach, and the numbers I've put here are very conservative. These SUNY New Paltz and Princeton High School asked us to come in and talk about eating disorders and awareness. And truthfully, any table in the event or any general mental health presentation we give, we mention eating disorders and the Eating Disorder Coalition. And it's something that is so ingrained in mental health that we need to talk about it. And we've seen a lot more people who are finally becoming comfortable talking about eating disorders and who can recognize the symptoms in themselves.
And on that report, I also kind of give an example of the costs of the last two conferences that we had, just so you can kind of see a layout of what we do with the money that is given. We focus it back into the education and then the support groups. But yeah, so that's pretty much what the coalition does right now. We hope to grow and do more, but we really, our members are the two of us, and there's about two or three other people from the community, including Nancy Graham. She is the head of the training department at Renfrew in the Treatment Center in New Jersey, and she's a great help and resource. So that's kind of everything we do.
Kathy.
Thank you.
Had it in.
So I am very impressed with your work and participated in the conference last year, and have followed along and seen the continuing good work. Part of my approach to what the legislature is doing has been to want to develop a way of handling some of these kinds of health programs that the legislature and that the county funds, and having it be regularized and predictable and transparent. I'm hoping that the legislature will work to develop some new processes in the future, and so we might ask, we'll be, if we do that, then we'll be asking everybody to go through those if the legislature does it. One of the things that I think is very important is serving the entire community in Ulster County, which I know from having attended the prior conference is generally the case, that these participants come from across the county and potentially serve clients throughout the county. And you're serving under the people that would otherwise not receive care. So I think it's really important that when we look at how to address programs that are outside of the hospital system or our standard mental health system, that we capture a group like yours and keep this work going. I think you, especially expanding the ability of care providers to, the primary care providers in many cases, to care for these individuals, you save money for everyone and you provide a better service than if people were being referred out and having to travel. I really appreciate it, and this kind of report is exactly the kind of information that helps us see that.
Great. Thank you.
And if I show up tomorrow, can I get breakfast with
you? Yes. Yeah. Come tomorrow. We overestimated a couple people canceled, so by all means, come have breakfast. See our introduction.
What's the percentage difference between like male and female as far as eating disorders are?
Actually, 40% of people with eating disorders are men.
Really, you know, it's really interesting too, because I had never heard that.
I wouldn't even think that. I would think it would be women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's usually the common.
That's what we've seen all of that.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what's most commonly discussed.
That's unbelievable.
for men with eating disorders, they actually have the highest mortality rate. And it's really concerning. And of those men with eating disorders, 42% are gay men.
And we did, we have a panel tomorrow that is, but ultimately we wanted to find half the panel males and half the panel LGBTQ community. We didn't care what they identified as. It was incredibly hard to find males in general. And we actually have two males. They identify as both LGBTQ community and male. But they are on the panel, and we were shocked because at first we couldn't find anybody. We only had females speaking up. And now we're extremely excited that that represents kind of what we wanted, which is great because we don't get that often. And we actually have one male that comes to one of our eating disorder support groups. That was kind of leery, and when we were, come on in, everybody will be very welcoming. And he's come consistently every Monday for like 3 months now, so it's great.
Yeah. Why is it always, why do you think it's always, when you hear of somebody with an eating disorder, it's always, you're always associated with like a female having an eating disorder. Now, why would they, is it, potentially, but, why do you automatically, like, why do we always think, you know, female when there's 40% of males?
Yeah, that I think it has a lot to do with the body image, and society's pushing constantly the body image at females specifically. I mean, they do it with males too in sports, but it's cool to be fit as a male, where for a female it's a lot different because you have so many things working against you, and it's pushed differently. You're expected, where a larger male or an undersized male isn't as pointed out as a female. A female gets pointed out constantly, and we saw that a lot with the colleges when we were talking to them, or I mean, you can speak on the schools when you went in and you were talking to the kids.
We went into Kingston High School and we did the conversation about body positivity and then eating disorders, and I said, you know, what celebrities are into body positivity and being open about eating disorders, and they just said females. And then I went to go chime in with males, and I said, oh wait, actually I can't think of any. It's just so much more common, and just toxic masculinity, which is finally being recognized, is really what's going to help in the reporting. And a lot of people, especially men, due to those stereotypes, don't want to admit that something's wrong, or they think that gym culture is just, I'm being healthy, I'm posting on Instagram that I'm at the gym, where they don't realize sometimes that they're exercising in excess as the result of something psychologically going on.
That was
going
to be my next question, because obviously there's potentially a stigma to it, and that's so do you think the number could be higher than 40% only because
it very well could be? And when we talked to last year, one of our presenters was a doctor from New York Presbyterian, and they treat both, and she said there's not, it's hard. Males usually come in a lot further into the diagnosis than females, where Renfrew, because of you see females so much more open to getting treatment, Renfrew doesn't actually serve males. They only serve females. LiveWell, we haven't really gotten much of a response with them trying to get like what you serve, but I would assume if New York Presbyterian, which is much bigger, is seeing that, LiveWell probably sees something kind of similar as well.
How do you make it out in the public to get people to come to you?
A lot of times we start with emails. I did radio announcements with Radio Kingston. We do colleges, we get into classes, or we do heads of departments and have them pass out information. We do tabling during Eating Disorder Awareness Week. So we try to do as many as we can to hand things out. Every tabling event we have, if we know something like this is coming up, we usually have the flyer about a month or two out. We start handing them out when we're doing tabling events in general. So we really try to get the word as much as possible. Every year our list grows of people that are on it. I think we're up to 300 on our Eating Disorder Coalition blast list. We blast everything out, and then from there, people just spread the information, so it's a lot of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Last year, we actually had a few people come from Jersey that were not from Renfrew that heard about it from a Renfrew clinical person, mm-hmm. and it just kind of, we had like 4 or 5 out-of-state people that came, and we were like, whoa, cool. Because we didn't think we reached that far. We thought just local was great to bring 80 people together that were interested. And the majority are, like I said, clinical practitioners.
Does insurance cover
the treatment?
The treatment?
If the provider accepts the insurance, yes. Mm-hmm. It's covered under it usually. Sometimes there are iffy about how long you can get the insurance coverage. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in and we try to help advocate, because it gets tricky with the actual treatment if it's right. inpatient. We had, and sometimes we step up. Last year, we actually used part of our funding with this program to help someone. We don't usually do that, mm-hmm. but we've had a person in our family support group for years, and the daughter has been in and out of inpatient multiple times. Last year, she went to, was it New York Presbyterian? They wanted her to go full inpatient, and she refused. And her dad's like, you need something. She agreed to do outpatient. 4 days a week, you have to travel down. He couldn't afford a hotel or anything for her, so he was kind of stuck. He's like, I can pay for the treatment, they're covering that, can't pay for the transportation. Mm-hmm. So we went over and bought her train tickets to go from Poughkeepsie just every day for the amount of time. I think she went a few weeks, and we paid for it because it was 4 days a week for a few weeks. And that's part of the problem is insurance covers some, but to travel all the way to the city or to travel up to Albany, mm-hmm. I mean, even though it's Albany, if you work, taking the time off work to then do the program, right. exactly. it's a lot. So, yeah, we tried to help, but there isn't a lot of help out there for that, unfortunately.
And we understand that, I mean, not everyone has good health insurance or any health insurance, but anyone can develop an eating disorder, and that's why it's so important for us to be able to have the support groups for free, because they are run by clinical social workers, mm-hmm. and even if you cannot get in right away or you can't get in at all with a practitioner, at least you're getting something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's the best we can offer, is just that support and information, mm-hmm. and just someone to talk to.
And we're also trying to really reach out to doctors. A lot of our people that come to the support group, problems are doctors. When they do go in and it's like, oh, you just lost 10 pounds. No, they didn't just lose it. They haven't eaten in 2 weeks and they lost 10 pounds in 2 weeks. That's not just losing 10 pounds. Where in saying things that just aren't sensitive to the fact that it is an eating disorder, or the people that have gotten surgery and then weren't successful with their gastric bypass or whatever, and then it's, we'll just try something else, or you know, your body, you're just big boned. No, they binge eat. It's not big bone, it's a disorder, but they're not getting that primary doctor care on the medical side of it. So part of what we want to do is also reach out and try, that's our next step, trying to get some medical people to come too. Mm-hmm. We're doing great now with the clinical end of it on the mental health side, but really like to get some of the other side. I mean, I've reached out to a couple social workers that work in, I know the Washington Ave, I can't remember, infectious disease, and they have a primary care doctor's office there. Their social worker, when I went to an appointment, actually they hooked me up with them, and I've been in touch and trying to reach out, pass this information out. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen any medical providers come. We reached out to Caramount, they're not so responsive either. So we're going to keep trying. We're going to push. I know my boss met with the new CEO of the hospitals, the guy that came from Vassar that just started. So, I mean, I want to let him get settled before I pester, but I'd like to start trying to say, can you come? Can we get people to come? So
one thought on that would be, have you thought about going to the gastroenterology or some other conference? I think gastroenterology would be the first one I would try. And making a presentation about what you're doing with this,
I bet
they would find, you know, they would find mm-hmm. that very interesting. And so you'd have a room full of doctors. Now it wouldn't be all mm-hmm. our Ulster County doctors, but if the doctors locally find out that you've done that, then you've got cred
yeah,
for drawing them as your a resource.
Yeah, that's good idea. And we can look into that.
And that is really one of our big goals for 2020 is we've done a lot with the mental health part, which is crucial, but the physical health and safety part is the other huge aspect. When someone goes into treatment for anorexia, the first thing they focus on is let's get your weight back up so you don't die. It's and then the mental health piece comes in once that person is stabilized. So our goal for 2020 is to get into that medical piece so we can ensure safety of both people who restrict and then also people who are binge eaters and have their own health risks that come with that.
So it could be gastroenterology, it could actually also be endocrinology and nephrology because there are sometimes some renal issues. But I think that, I've been to some of those conferences and had some of this back in my training, which was a while ago. I bet in today's medical world it's be even more appreciated.
Yeah, great. Just the sensitivity of how to ask the questions, not to assume what someone looks like is it's actually more common for people to be above average weight to have eating disorders, especially bulimia.
That's right.
Pediatrics and primary care. I mean, pediatricians would be a very important target audience.
I bet you with pediatrician.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Because adolescent
that's
medicine.
Where, that's pretty much where it all starts.
Yeah.
Now,
so
go ahead.
Do you rely on the medical profession or mental health profession to get people to you, or is there so much outreach? You know, I know a case where somebody would eat and then go to the gym 3-4 times a day, and fortunately he had two sisters who had to reason psychology and said, that's an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. I'm not, I'm just exercising, but it is. So, and then it kind of, so beyond that, how would you, alert people who don't have sisters who are psychology majors? Is there an outreach for them
for
as
the
well?
Support groups, you mean?
Maybe to get them in. It's like, how do you get the information out? Mm-hmm. It's not just, making yourself sick or withholding food from yourself, but it can be all these other things. Even if you just do it once in a while, if you're doing this or this, invite them. Do you invite them to a support group or do you, because you might not know it.
We try when we do tabling events, especially during Eating Disorder Awareness Week, we try to address that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do more of it. It usually depends on staffing how much we get to do. But we really like to educate the general signs and symptoms. And we actually got these really great cards from the National Alliance of Eating Disorders.
It's called, yes, because it's the Alliance.
They have a lot of signs and symptoms, and they also have a lot of resources on them, and we just found them and they were amazing, so we ordered them so we can use them at tabling events just so people can see. And a lot of times what I've also done is when I go to things like Make a Difference Day, where people are kind of, the stigma of coming to our table is already an issue, so to grab an eating disorder thing is not. I make little bags sometimes and stick stuff in it.
Oh.
So they're just grabbing a gift bag off my table. And usually there's a candy. I'll be like, there's a candy in there. And they'll take it. Whether they look at it, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it gives the information without it being such a stigma and embarrassment, whatever they feel. And it gets out more. Because very few will actually stop and talk. They'll say hello and then kind of scurry off.
They'll see what we have out for free, which is why we have the pens because I've gone to things out in the community and people are using their eating disorder pens. I was like, what do you know about our eating disorder coalition? And it starts a conversation. My husband works in Catskill High School and he uses them at work. Trying to get the outreach out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're great pens too.
Julie?
I think that the education is important. And 71 years old, I still remember the little skinny guy on the beach in every comic book I picked up, just about every major magazine, there was always something about that little skinny guy on the beach, and he did this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden now he's the muscle man.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things are what keep, I believe, what keep men away, because we're always worried about whether we're going to be buff enough to where we look presentable. And then when we get there, and like where all the sports, especially football, it's fashionable to have your gut hanging over you mm-hmm. because they want to put that weight on you. Mm-hmm. I know even West Point, where the Army has weight limits, but they disband those for the football players during football season.
Yeah.
Okay, football season is over, now you got to slim down and then start in the middle of the summer trying to beef back up. But that's what they do. So for men, it's been one advertised one way. But along with that, you always heard of the little model or the little girl that aspired to be a model who was throwing up all the time, making sure that mm-hmm. she didn't gain any weight. I think those false images mm-hmm. have kept one side to where this isn't something I worry about, or now I want to look younger, so now I spend all my time in the gym. The other end is that there are things I love to eat. I'm not going to quit eating them, so I go to the gym and work out so that it doesn't show. Mm-hmm. All of those things are things that we're dealing with when we try to deal with. But I think beginning with an education at a young age, mm-hmm. to where maybe the books and things that they open up have that card in the middle of it, so that they start looking at where their life is and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And realizing that this is a problem just as big as me being the little skinny kid or this, that, and the other, or even being the obese kid. Because I know at the hospital, we're working trying to prevent childhood obesity. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just the things that they learn to eat, and they eat it all day. Mm-hmm. And mom, dad are happy seeing a chunky kid. But don't notice they're killing themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's vice versa. It works that way back too. So mm-hmm. I think just advertising, getting more advertisement out there to where more and more people start to look at. Mm-hmm. Because until you start talking about it tonight, wasn't something I paid a whole mm-hmm. bunch of attention to.
And I do the mental health in schools initiative. I also used to work for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and I've been in almost every school in Ulster County and Dutchess County. But in Ulster County, part of the Mental Health 101 that we're supposed to give, that we always edit to make it better than what it is, we talk about eating disorders. And like when we talk about suicide, it's something that makes students really uncomfortable. And just talking about it and being exposed and say, this is how you ask a friend if they're okay. This is how to identify when you're doing something as a result of some faulty thinking, rather than, I just wanna lose weight so I feel better, healthier. And it's really uncomfortable. And the minute though that they start asking questions about it is when you realize that they're gaining that awareness and that they are actually interested and that they know what we're talking about. And that to me is really beautiful. I always say that this generation coming up now is going to be the most mentally healthy generation, even though there's a lot of stigma with the anxiety the students are having. They know what they're talking about with mental health. And I think that's really incredible. And we're trying to get that eating disorder awareness tied into the mental health awareness that they have right now.
And schools have been really receptive to having us come in and speak to the classrooms, which is great. Then we kind of pop it in there.
How many people actually recognize that they have an issue and reach out to you, opposed to those who are reaching out on behalf of somebody who may have a problem?
We actually get more people, I think we get more people directly than we do people reaching out for another, like mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. But we get a lot of really shy people. Mm-hmm. So we'll get people reaching out, and then they'll never show up. Or we had one lady that is now attending our group that for a couple months wouldn't tell us her name. Mm-hmm. We're like, we have attendance. We just need to know how many people. So yeah, we were just putting her in as unknown or handwriting illegible because she wouldn't tell us her name. She refused. But she was coming to group. So mm-hmm. it's really strange. But we do get more calls than people that actually show up. However, these two groups are the family support group varies. But the other two groups are our most attended groups for support groups, alongside of anxiety and depression, which is extremely popular. We have a constant, probably 8 to 10 every week, which is really, it's huge. It's grown. When I first started, it was like 1 or 2, and I was actually thinking of cutting it, and then they told me that the money came from here and I needed to figure out how to use it. So I was like, oh, I didn't know. I thought I was just paying it out of my, I thought I was saving my department money, and then I started looking at, well, what can I do to beef it up? And that's when we started doing things and getting ourselves out there more, and now they're very well attended, which I'm very proud of.
Well, I thank you for looking at it that way, because I think that and being able to give a report like you've given tonight makes the difference when we're sitting here trying to figure out whether we ought to add what you might have asked for or whether you need what we're giving you. The biggest questions that we have is, what are they doing with the money? That's why we're asking for a little bit more in-depth reports that say we did this, because eventually we have to go answer to somebody, why did you support so-and-so. So I think what you did tonight makes a world of difference.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you. Thanks.
Selfishly, I am in graduate school for social work, and I'm in my policy class, so I will attend anything you guys invite me to. But this was wonderful, and we appreciate all the support you've been giving us and for your questions. That was, I love answering questions.
Good. All right, cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you want free breakfast or free lunch tomorrow, we ordered enough food.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, we'll move into resolutions now.
No, actually, do you want your...
No, you can. Oh. You can pay it if you need it. Oh. If you don't want it, we'll just take it.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what I wrote my notes on.
You can have it.
On
mine.
You can keep it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Open to the public.
All righty. We'll go right into resolutions. We'll start with 518.
I'll move it.
Second.
All right. Discussion. What are you talking about?
This
is calling upon the governor to sign legislation regulating toxic chemicals in children's products.
So this is a memorializing resolution to ask the governor to sign legislation that's been passed that basically tries to make products that children use safer. And the hazards and the chemicals that are in children's toys and other products that children use is really terribly underestimated. So Legislator Bartels called me about this. It's actually something that I've been concerned about as a pediatrician for decades. And I was delighted when I saw this resolution. There are changes that were made because the resolution was drafted to get it in on time and then kind of refined. I think all the changes make it flow better and make the information a little clearer. So I guess we would probably need to vote on these amendments, or because it's in there.
No, I think it's because it's in there. I think that's
fine. I'm fully in support of this. Mary Warro's a co-sponsor, used to be on this committee, and so I'm hoping that it will come out of this committee with really solid support, and that we could pass this.
Definitely. This was brought up a few years ago. Tracy had tried to spearhead something out of the county, and there is a little bit of concern, only because we weren't sure if, as a county, we'd be able to pursue and pass and be able to oversee something this large. We were unsure of the costs and the equipment that it the expenses of equipment in order to do these types of tests. And that's why when this came out of the state, of course, has the ability to oversee and pay for the needs in order to make it successful, came about. Now it's sitting on the governor's desk for one reason or another, but it passed through both the Senate and the Assembly. And
there are businesses that oppose this. there are a lot of products that, like children's jewelry, that come in and that are sold, and that it starts to be a hassle to try to enforce these kind of things. So it's not small to do this, but it's just so important.
Right.
A lot of that jewelry has either lead, which is lying against a child's body, or mercury. Ward Stone, when he was working for the DEC before he retired, did studies on this and found huge amounts of especially mercury in children's jewelry that mm-hmm. is sold in all these stores.
Yeah.
So this legislation starts in on basically assessing that, and if you're finding it, getting it out of, you know, I mean, children put everything into their mouths,
sure.
or you know, they have it all over them. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I think some of the pushback from small businesses was that they don't have the means to defend themselves like large department store, Target, or any other place that sells children's toys or children-related products that could potentially be contaminated. But, you know, if you're working towards one goal, and that's to protect the safety and welfare of children, then, yeah, I think that is first and foremost. So, I would be behind this.
It was clothes
well.
And backpacks. It was everything.
Everywhere. It was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they send toys out with lead-acid batteries in them.
Yeah.
Which is, they've been banned in the States since 92,
right.
But we'll still get, yeah.
Wow. I think
that's crazy. I can't get on a plane without a sealed gel battery,
right.
But yeah, they'll put it in, you know, child's toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think leading the process again, you always end up nobody's bothered, nobody's this, that, and the other. I think, especially in the last few years, we've been trying to green up our own, we've been trying to protect our own, and our kids are it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of this, I feel like, will end up at the companies that produce
mm-hmm.
more
mm-hmm.
than that little guy on the corner. If we force the people that produce to be careful about what they produce and how they produce it, because ultimately, I think if the laws pass and we go back, that big company is the one that any lawsuits or what are going to get targeted at first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great. I think it's something that we need to do. Lead again.
Sure. All right. Anything else?
All the questions?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good.
We have our committee. My name added to this as well. I mean, I know I'm on the committee, but.
Yeah, your name should be on it. I'll make sure.
And all of mine sounds like everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Yeah. As a committee. Okay. Alrighty. We will move to resolution 534, authorizing Ulster County Executive to accept laptops and tablets from the New York State Association of Counties and the New York State Department of Health.
I'll move it.
In the battle
I'm
against
delighted to
opioid.
Second it.
But my only thing, I was thrilled when I saw laptops, but they're going to the medical examiner's office. I really wish that we would become more proactive and start addressing the opioid crisis before we get to the point of the medical examiner's office. So that's just a statement. But
I mean, I think we are another way. This is just one small thing that they want all the MEs to have these, but, you know, we've gotten the Chase grant, which is like a $3 million grant to work on opioids, and there's a lot of things that we're doing in this area. This is just one small
thing. Really share data.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that data is great, but, you know,
after
you need to go after the physicians that are prescribing. I actually met somebody who was in his early 30s, but he was addicted at 14, and it started out with a broken arm and a prescription from a doctor, and went into heroin from there. So, yeah, it's real. It's everybody. It's
mm-hmm.
scary.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Resolution 550, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with the Mental Health Mental Alliance Hospital, Broadway campus.
I'll move it.
Second.
Yeah, I work for Health Alliance Broadway Campus.
Okay.
With me voting.
You can, yeah, you can abstain from it. Okay. For the vote.
This is Crisis Intervention Services. Yeah. State aid.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. With one abstention. Mm-hmm. All right, 551, approving execution of a contract for $50,000 with Family Services.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion?
I did see in the contract, you know, aside from drugs and alcohol, this is also gambling?
I think it is,
I
yes.
So, yeah.
I saw that someplace.
This is for school age, any addictive person. Okay.
Any addictive.
Oh, yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. 552, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with the family of Woodstock.
I will move it.
Second.
All right. Discussion?
And this one didn't have a contract attached to it?
And I don't know why. I know it's our... If need be, I can come back with a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, does it have it?
Yeah, we definitely have a hard copy here.
Which
just probably didn't get scanned in.
For substance abuse.
So is it?
Alcohol and substance abuse.
Yeah.
State aid.
State aid. Talk about
75 state, 25 county. I'm sorry, Craig.
Or even
you're good.
Here. So this is for those services. Non-Medicaid care coordination, respite, primary prevention, advocacy.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
That was one. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, 553, approving the execution of contract, Nexus $50,000 with Access Supports for Living Incorporated.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Second.
Mobile Mental Health.
Yep.
This is my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah, they're good.
And just so people know, the new Somati program is using Mobile Mental Health when they have addiction issues that come up, which also in the context of mental health issues. So they're, you know, the services that we've created are now starting to reinforce each other, or in this case, the service we had is in reinforcing this new nonprofit effort.
Yep, no, definitely. It's kind of come together. It keeps the flood of people out of the emergency room when it comes to other issues that aren't necessarily emergency related. So, yeah, no, it's been great.
So, I've heard the term Somati. Is that a county program? Is it somebody? Because Dutchess County actually has.
It's actually.
They have a program where if somebody's arrested and they understand it's more of a mental health issue than a public disturbance. They can actually keep them in like 23 hours and 59 minutes before they have to. Yeah, so they have a real crisis center. So, you know, I see that we're starting to do a lot more networking within our individual vendors. But
Somati is an independent nonprofit, but it's developing programs and capacities that the county wants to have available in our opioid prevention work. So I think that you're going to see Somati bidding on proposals that we have come out.
Okay.
Currently, they're primarily staffed by volunteers, and they need to be made more stable so that they can do more, have even bigger capacity. They're centered in the Old Methodist Church on Clinton Avenue in Kingston, but they serve people across the county because they're offering peer-to-peer counseling, they're offering yoga, tai chi, they've created an environment of a clean and sober community that's doing the wellness type of activities that serve other populations. Mm-hmm. And people are responding to it. They're seeing people come in and request services. So I think that we're seeing a new group who's trying to respond to the needs of people before they end up with a medical examiner.
They came to session last night. They came to the budget and spoke.
Not
last night.
Yeah, at the budget.
Were they there last night?
Yeah, they talked about wanting some funds, but it was, I signed them in.
Oh, during public comment.
David was there. It must have been somebody.
It must have been somebody else. Yeah, I got it. Didn't remember that.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. What are we? 554. Approving execution of contract next to $50,000 with Gateway Community Industries.
I need to recuse myself on
sure.
this.
Yep.
So I'll move it.
For family connection.
Family.
For
petite. Need a second.
Not gonna get one.
No.
Second.
Yeah, I gotta get one. Julie,
second.
All right, there you go.
All right.
Okay.
Discussion.
He's looking for a second.
There's about nine.
My head is in this paper.
There's about nine different programs. They have a treatment apartment. They do housing, supported housing, vocational rehabilitation, certified work activity, shelter workshop, comprehensive personalized recovery services, and non-Medicaid care coordination. $2.5 million contract, so it's a large contract.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstained.
Yeah, one abstention. 555, approving the execution contract, next to $50,000 with Mental Health Association in Ulster County.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, 556. Approving execution of contract next $50,000 with People, projects to empower and organize the psychiatrically labeled.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Is this a group that we have worked with quite a bit?
Yes. This is an annual. Typically,
yeah, I've seen this a number of times coming.
It's a 96% state, which is a weird. I don't normally see that. Somehow we got picked up with 4% of the cost. But not too bad.
Yeah.
So.
Watch. About
$12,000.
$3 million,
though.
It's a $310,000.
Right. It's the balance, the 4% balance. Yeah.
And they do over 18, and there's 125 individuals a year.
Right.
So, is there any, like, overlapping?
I mean, I would
assume. Everything's confidential, but.
Assume that there's
multiple programs.
A lot of time, yes, I would say some of these have some overlapping services, and part of that is the state, choosing. A lot of these, when we're doing it, the state aid comes with attachments that we use certain vendors, and oftentimes the state likes to blanket and use many different vendors doing many different services. But I don't think we have the same. Clients overlapping.
Right. The clients tend to be in one program
right.
unless they decide
that
they want to move
question.
To another.
Some might
could
be
get
geographic
recommended.
For reasons of, geographics or others.
And there, some of the monies, I don't think any of these tonight, deal with managing the single point of service, which is supposed to be the place where that diagnostic and treatment plan gets organized and then goes into these different paths.
We really need that.
We have it. And I'm not sure if the funding for that is just like one contract or if it's several things coming together. That might be something to look at so that we know how much of what we're appropriating is going to that. Because I think Laura's implying, and I would agree with her, that if you do that part right, it really helps people. And It is hard for people when they first have a diagnosis or find a problem to know how to connect with the Hydra of services.
That's a good way of putting it.
It looks like it might jump out and snap you, but it's really, it needs to be manifold in that way in order to be able to work well with the many varieties of different combinations of illnesses or different diagnoses.
And what works best for people, and too.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, 557, proven the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with Aster Services for Children and Families.
I'll move it.
Mary Warros on this one.
There, she's on all of them, but it's been changed in the original draft.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was a template that was used across the board for everybody.
Yeah, it makes it easy.
Did we get a second? We had a second?
Oh, second. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brenda's on everyone.
Us? Okay. We did that?
No, I don't believe so.
All right. Just want to know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just know that I was told they were all...
Because we can fix it.
What's going to the floor is all clean.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
58, approving the execution of a contract next to $50,000 with Rehabilitation Support Services.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm a no.
Oh, you're up.
Yeah, they're still in the neighborhood, and we can't get them to open up discussion with, you know. I mean, you have to work together collaboratively, and they're still looking to put in a 16-unit facility into a residential neighborhood, knocking on neighbors' doors at 8 o'clock at night. It's, you know, I really wish they'd open up and work with us a little bit more.
Okay. Noted. All right. Where were we? 559, approving the execution of contract next to $50,000. With NYSARC, this is
Arc of Ulster Green.
Arc
move
of Ulster Green.
Second.
Really important, good work.
I'm quiet unless people have questions.
No, definitely.
Well, what is a sheltered workshop? Is that actually because we do have ARC and RCAL and other groups who are willing to come out and volunteer, and so it's actually gotten to the point where we interact well enough that they'll come out and do a performance audit to see if the individual's ready to go out into the workforce. But this sheltered workshop, is that more of a singular location where they go in and work?
And have a variety of different skills, vocational skills, soft skills,
okay.
Et cetera.
These individuals are generally individuals who will not be, are not expected to be able to be in the workforce.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 560. Approving the execution of a contract next to $50,000 with Health Alliance Hospital.
I'm going to pass on this.
Is there a methadone?
Abstain?
Aye. Would you move it? Where are you?
I will move it.
Okay.
Second.
I'm trying to make this really tiny print.
Oh, you can make it bigger.
Yeah,
which number is that?
Oh, you know what? Open it in browser.
Oh, it works like that.
Oh.
No, see, it went back.
Open it in browser, and then it'll stay. There's a little up in the upper left-hand corner when you first open it.
Can I see that resolution?
Yeah, that bottom thing doesn't work very well.
No, 560. It's probably under here now.
So if you push this, whoops.
Hopefully. What happens if I push this red button?
Back up to one. See what it does?
Yes.
And when you have
the methadone, that's what I thought it was.
I've been there, and finally open in browser solved my issue. Mostly, although you still can't search as well as we used to be able to. It's a different method.
Chambers have an...
Yeah.
Now
we're into technical support here.
We need more funding. We try to, you know, merge a lot of different resolutions together into one
Yeah,
oh my God.
We sit around.
And it gets to be these big files. It's probably easier to do them in
smaller
in
batches.
Smaller
sometimes
batches, but then it, then we have to open each of those. No perfect way.
Yeah.
You know, if it's worth doing, you have to invest a little bit of sweat equity.
I sweat a lot.
That's why I drink water all day.
We did 559 too.
We're at 560.
Brenda abstained.
You see how this is? I'm glad you're experiencing what I experience.
Almost there. 557.
And it's flashing at you.
I like it. He's kind of got a little.
I know, I was just thinking the same thing. Are you looking
looks,
for the?
He looks like
a good. I bet you he's a good dancer.
Yeah. Gonna see him conducting an orchestra.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I played saxophone in a jazz band when I was young.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
I played clarinet.
That's cool. Ooh, we should get together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played it very badly, unfortunately.
Blame it on the reeds.
Depends.
No, I could make your own sound. I needed more practice, and I was always going off to play basketball, which I really liked.
For basketball.
Methadone
treatment.
So
yeah, it's the outpatient.
Is it 7 days a week?
Methadone.
So you're not giving double
treatment.
Doses on Saturday.
Regulated to where.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
This has come up before.
It's 100%
county.
100% county,
but it's
$100,000. I just don't remember.
It's
how
a
many
it's
days
a the 7 day program now.
It's six.
Oh, it's still
it's six. And there was a problem once a long time ago.
Right.
And there was an effort made to get it to be 7 days because that was thought to be the best fix, mm-hmm. and that was difficult. And it's been at 6 days ever since because we couldn't get it, fixed. And it hasn't been a problem since then.
Yeah, it was all from, one incident?
Channel
my inner Ken Crennel.
Exactly.
I remember him talking about this so many times.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to replay here.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a reason why they can't do seven. For
right. It's...
I should know that.
I'm not sure that...
Reason out of the state, though, no?
It's a reason from the state. It's not a reason...
It wasn't here.
...that
right.
we had. I think, I guess part of the issue was could we pay for part of it and therefore have control, but that if we do that, then we have to pay a big, big part of it. And so it, it required a value judgment at some point of do we take all this aid for a clearly beneficial program mm-hmm. that largely works really well the way the state set it up, or do we make it a county program, pay for millions of dollars, mm-hmm. and have one extra day of treatment?
And that might be what this is, because this is 100% county. So mm-hmm. this might be the one extra day or whatever.
Oh, just for the day, and the rest is covered somehow through a different...
I think so, because this is 100% county funding, and it's only $100,000.
Oh, that's
so
quite what it is. It's the day.
Which is probably why it's not telling me how many days a week.
Uh-huh. Oh, so he did fix it before he left, and maybe he's not here for us to cheer and applaud. Because if that's what this is, that's brilliant.
Don't pay for one day. I don't know if that's what it is, though.
You think it's the whole program? The whole program would cost more than $100,000.
The program definitely. I'll double check. I can.
Yeah, call Ken.
That's just to comply with those.
Tell
us.
I mean, you can solve it some other way, but it would be fun to call him and tell him that we think that he's fixed it, and we want to thank him.
Well, I guess either way, we're authorizing it. I've asked too. I said, essentially, this is another pharmaceutical that's addictive, and pregnant women are getting it. And my daughter's in these services. She says some people just need these maintenance dosages, but I'm hoping there's other mental health care associated with this, especially if you're going to have addicted babies.
I can tell you as a pediatrician that it is much better to have a baby born to a mother on methadone than to have a mother than to have a baby born to a mother who's an addict who's not receiving treatment. When people are on methadone and they come in, yes, there is an issue, but you know what their dose is. You know exactly what to expect in the neonate. There's a very standardized process for weaning the baby, and it usually is accomplished very easily. So what you have is you have a healthy mother with methadone in her system, and then a healthy baby with methadone in the baby's system, and you treat both of them. People who are addicted and who have habits that are going this way and that way come in without stable weight, without stable medical care. And the baby is often withdrawing from multiple substances. So methadone has has that problem that it is also addicted, just like Suboxone, which will also, I hope, be helping to fund in the future. But those treatments stabilize the situation, and then you can also get mental health treatment for people who are trying to get off of those compounds. But there are people who've lived years and decades stably on these compounds, and I view them like diabetics who are taking insulin.
That makes sense.
You can say, well, they shouldn't need insulin. Okay, but their pancreas, doesn't work. In these people, you can say they shouldn't need this, but their life and brain chemistry, whatever it is that's led to an addiction, has put them in a similar position. So why would we withhold a treatment that stabilizes their life and makes them functional? So.
And statistically, the kids, do they become addicts too, or are there no statistics?
Okay. I don't think there's even any increase, but I'd have to check that.
Okay.
The last time I've looked at any of that data is decades ago, and there's probably better data on it now. But we didn't see it in the children up through adolescence, because I followed some of them over that length of time.
Thank you.
I was a skeptic until you added the sixth much.
Oh. Did you count them?
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're good.
Check them on the tape and reflect it in the minutes.
Yeah.
I'll type it out.
Much. No. Now you're convinced,
good.
Though.
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Sold. Let me ask.
All right. I'll follow up with Nettie.
Okay.
On information. I don't think it is the one day a week. I think.
Okay.
Does the whole full methadone program?
Really? Here, but it's really teeny tiny.
But why are we paying it all for ourselves? But all from the county.
That's what I'll have to.
Is it reimbursable?
Things that we're talking about with
staff.
The this is the methadone, so I think it's
to have that extra.
So you'll have this for ways.
Is that in the contract? Right.
I do remember that.
It would be good if we could get the state to do this. I think the 6 days a week state funded is better than 7 days a week county funded, because we need this money for other stuff. And I know that it was raised often enough that maybe. It came through this way and was decided we could, it's $100,000, why are we going to argue about it?
Yeah.
But I'd argue about $100,000 to get it freed up for something else if the state would cover something almost equivalent.
Right.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 561, approving the execution of a contract amendment. Causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000.
So move.
I'll second.
Okay. This is where with Berkshire Farm.
Yep. Youth Respite. So Crisis Respite Services with Berkshire Farm. This is the second amendment. Mm-hmm. It was out to RFP, so we probably would potentially extend it maybe one more time.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 565, approving the execution of a contract. Excess $50,000 with the Ulster County Community College.
I'll move it.
Second.
The Success Program.
Yep. This is a program
that's good ring to it.
The community college, it serves not just DSS clients, but it does serve DSS clients to help get them back into education and skill training.
Good.
And is that done in cooperation with the employment and training department?
Or no, this is just a SUNY Ulster program. Okay.
It went all the way back up to one. I give up.
Oh, send it down here.
All in favor?
Throw it.
Aye. let's see, 570. We have 570. Yeah, approving the execution of the contract. Excess of $50,000 with Berkshire Farm Center and Services for Youth.
So move.
Second.
This discussion. Is one of our non-secure youth detention facilities for juveniles through Vancouver.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's not the teen shelter out of Creek.
No, it's
different.
It's actually a detention center.
Oh.
When there's placements that juvenile defenders.
571, approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 with Family Woodstock.
Move.
Motion.
What are we doing?
Family Woodstock.
Family Woodstock.
A second.
Okay. Discussion.
571.
That's good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Ready? New business, old business.
Oops. Should we tell Mary? Should we go back and redo Mary Warren's resolution so
nope.
that unanimously?
Okay.
Yeah.
So where is
no, that's good.
So, in the new year, just new business. I think that one of the things we're trying to do is empower department heads to come to more of these meetings, and so
agree.
Not yep. necessarily. It may be department head, maybe Dr. Smith, but or
sure.
it might be senior staff to come talk a little bit more about some of these resolutions.
Yeah,
DSS. And
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think about Eating Disorders Coalition, bullying? Awareness, these programs that are clearly helpful, at least the best we can determine, but that are coming to us in kind of multiple different paths so that it doesn't feel coordinated and it doesn't, you know, as good as Eating Disorders Coalition is, I'm not sure how closely connected they are with Dr. Smith or mental health.
Right.
And would it be better if they were? Is the budget the way to try to sort out some of those lines and force communications or oversight? Or are we just happy enough that it, you know, we're kind of patching together something that seems to work?
So I would think that there needs to be a better overall kind of procurement process, but I don't know that it's related to the departments, because the departments are putting in the executive budget the programs that they feel are necessary and important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm not saying that a program like Access or the Eating Disorder isn't, but it's just not what they're necessarily focused on from year to year. But like I spoke with legislative programs, I think having a kind of a call for, like maybe setting aside a budget and having a call for proposals
mm-hmm.
might make a little bit more sense than kind of doing it ad hoc.
You're likely to get some citizen advocacy on this point.
Like I told them, the more we ask for conference with the people that we're forced to approve, the better we understand where they're coming from, the better they understand what it is that we need to be to joyfully agree or disagree with whatever they bring. I think the problem that we have now is the thing comes to us. No one knows anything about it. they aren't saying anything about it until this time. And then the questions that we have aren't answered. So it makes it a little bit harder. So I think if we just get to where a committee is actually looking at the departments or the pieces that are coming to us, to the point that we have some understanding. So it's not just, well, I think, or this, that, and the other. I think it's important that you get to the point where the committee doesn't just say yes because it was there last year. They need to understand what it is that they're saying yes about in order for it to be done like it needs to be done. And I don't think that's asking too much. I think sometimes we take it kind of easy because if I ask for that and I got four of them in here tonight giving me a report, then I'm here for a while. But I think either we're here for a while and have with an understanding, and after a while it's not as long because we understood. They explained it already and we're ready to go. So I think the requirements from the committees, a better understanding of the people that's coming before them and why they're coming, rather than just getting it handed to you and you say, well, this is for approval of something we've been doing for 20 years or this, that, and the other. Some, what have you been doing? I liked the fact you could tell me, what are you doing with the money that we give you? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be super detailed, but it has to be enough to where we understand that we're not just throwing money at you. I think it makes a difference.
Good point.
I would like to see, and I think that it's you know, in progress, but there was a newer sheet that I believe Amber and Natalie had developed, so at least they could put in a proposal for the funding. But I think within that, say in the initial application, you're going to have to be willing to sign off that there will be monthly or minimally quarterly reports. What we're expecting as far as a quarterly report, I don't want to see a newspaper article. You know, I want to know which schools you went to. Love to see pictures of the kids if everybody's signed off on. You know, just like we would with a grant application to DEC. You know, this is where we held it. This is how many people attended. This is how many whatever you gave out. And then a real budget report. So aside from their, you know, quarterly or whatever, you know, plan, work plan or report, there would be budgetary. And you would have to be specific. So, and I think we're going to have to get together and see how we're going to tie all this in. Make sure all points of the county are covered and not just one area.
And look at what we're asking of these programs. I mean, my preference would be that these would be generally one-time support to help get something started and to give them enough momentum that they could then go get other grants. There are other people who've expressed, well, they're, you know, these are programs that we know and we like to keep some of the programs. Which ones are which? I think that maybe going out periodically either for with an RFP or at least for quotes would give us the ability to renew the ones we want and maybe look to use the funds some other ways if there's programs that have come and we're not seeing it to be quite as strong. Will that happen through the executive's office on some of these, Mark, do you think? Through the chair.
It's a little free throwing, but I want to be right. I mean, I think, look, if it was brought to us that there was a certain amount budgeted for each committee or whatever, and then there was a procurement process, I do think that would be cleaner to then get it into the executive's budget and not have 38 budget amendments, right? But you set a budget for each whatever, whether it's legislative programs, help, you know, this committee or others, to then provide through a procurement of some kind, an RFP, and yes, Ed Jordan and the purchasing department could assist in doing some kind of procurement, and then you'd have everything, and everybody would have the same kind of chance to propose
in the spring. One would
Yeah, we'd have to do it
soon. Well,
you could do it
like by August.
You could do the budget amount by June, July when we're asking for the legislature's budget requests, and then do the procurement through the summer.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have to be awarded until now. You know what I mean? Going into the next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I think that's a good approach.
That sounds helpful. Yeah. And we could start by looking at which, it already falls out that way that Legislative Programs is doing almost all of these. We have kind of taken on EDC and awareness and I think
Don't Be a Monster.
RCAL and Don't Be a Monster kind of in this committee. Although Don't Be a Monster didn't really come anywhere, I don't think, this year.
Ways and Means.
They were at Legislative Programs.
They were? They weren't there the night that I was there.
Were they?
They must have been previous
one. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, if we look at what has been spent in the past, that would give us a little bit of a guide of where to start. And then just add that process. I think that'd be an improvement.
I think so. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, yeah, this is looks like our last committee meeting of the year. So, I wanted to thank everybody for we've got a really diverse, really unique group here that bring all different aspects from all different walks of life, and I think together collectively, we've served the public and the county, well. And no matter how things change, I think whatever new group that's going to come in, if we can keep moving in the same direction that we have here, I think it'll be a win-win for Ulster and our constituents. So I thank everybody for your contributions, and it's been a pleasure to be chair.
This has been a really good committee to be on.
Mm. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. Motion.
I make a motion that we adjourn the December 2019 meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.